जय राधा माधव पुण्य बिहारी
Now chapter 15, King Prithu's appearance and coronation. Great sage Maitreya continued,
"My dear Vidura, thus the Brahmins and the great sages again churned the two arms of King Vena's dead body. As a result, a male and female couple came out of his arms. The great sages were highly learned in Vedic knowledge. When they saw the male and female born of the arms of Vena's body, they were very pleased, for they could understand that the couple was an expansion of a plenary portion of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The great sages said, 'The male is a plenary expansion of the power of Lord Vishnu, who maintains the entire universe, and the female is a plenary expansion of the Goddess of Fortune, who is never separated from the Lord. Of the two, the male will be able to expand his reputation throughout the world. His name will be Prithu. Indeed, he will be the first among kings. The female has such beautiful teeth and beautiful qualities that she will actually beautify the ornaments she wears. Her name will be Archie. In the future, she will accept King Prithu as her husband. In the form of King Prithu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared through a part of his potency to protect the people of the world. The Goddess of Fortune is the constant companion of the Lord, and therefore she has incarnated partially as Archie to become King Prithu's queen. My dear Viduraji, at that time all the Brahmins highly praised and glorified King Prithu, and the best singers of Gandharva Loka chanted his glories. The inhabitants of Siddha Loka showered flowers, and the beautiful women in the heavenly planets danced in ecstasy. Conch shells, bugles, drums, and kettle drums vibrated in outer space. Great sages, forefathers, and personalities from the heavenly planets all came to Earth from various planetary systems. Lord Brahma, the master of the entire universe, arrived there, accompanied by all the demigods and their chiefs. Seeing the lines of Lord Vishnu's palm on King Prithu's right hand and impressions of lotus flowers on the soles of his feet, Lord Brahma could understand that King Prithu was a partial representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one whose palm bears the sign of a disc, as well as other such lines, should be considered a partial representation or incarnation of the Supreme Lord. The learned Brahmins, who were very attached to the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, then arranged for the king's coronation. People from all directions collected all the different paraphernalia for the ceremony. Thus, everything was complete. All the rivers, seas, hills, mountains, serpents, cows, birds, animals, heavenly planets, the earthly planet, and all other living entities collected various presentations according to their ability to offer the king. Thus the great King Prithu, exquisitely dressed with garments and ornaments, was coronated and placed on the throne. The king and his wife, Archie, who was also exquisitely ornamented, appeared exactly like fire. My dear Vidura, Kuvera presented the great King Prithu with a golden throne. The demigod Varuna presented him with an umbrella that constantly sprayed fine particles of water and was as brilliant as the moon. The demigod of air, Vayu, presented King Prithu with two whisks or chamaras of hair. The king of religion, Dharma, presented him with a flower garland, which would expand his fame. The king of heaven, Indra, presented him with a valuable helmet. And the superintendent of death, Yamaraj, presented him with a scepter with which to rule the world. Lord Brahma presented King Prithu with a protective garment made of spiritual knowledge. Bharati, or Sarasvati, the wife of Brahma, gave him a transcendental necklace. Lord Vishnu presented him with a Sudarshan disc, and Lord Vishnu's wife, the goddess of fortune, gave him imperishable opulences. Lord Shiva presented him with a sword within a sheath, marked with 10 moons, and his wife, the goddess Durga, presented him with a shield marked with 100 moons. The moon demigod presented him with horses made of nectar, and the demigod Vishvakarma presented him with a very beautiful chariot. The demigod of fire, Agni, presented him with a bow made of the horns of goats and cows. The sun god presented him with arrows as brilliant as sunshine. The predominating deity of Vurloka presented him with slippers full of mystic power. The demigods from outer space brought him presentations of flowers again and again. The demigods, who always travel in outer space, gave King Prithu the arts to perform dramas, sing songs, play musical instruments, and disappear at his will. The great sages also offered him infallible blessings. The ocean offered him a conch shell produced from the ocean. The seas, mountains, and rivers gave him room to drive his chariot without impediments, and a Suta, a Magadha, and a Vandi offered prayers and praises. They all presented themselves before him to perform their respective duties. Thus, when the greatly powerful King Prithu, the son of Vena, saw the professionals before him to congratulate them, he smiled, and with the gravity of the vibrating sounds of clouds, he spoke as follows. O gentle Suta, Magadha, and other devotee offering prayers, the qualities of which you have spoken are not distinct in me. Why then should you praise me for all these qualities when I do not shelter these features? I do not wish for these words meant for me to go in vain, but it is better that they be offered to someone else. O gentle reciters, offer such prayers in due course of time, when the qualities of which you have spoken actually manifest themselves in me. The gentle who offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not attribute such qualities to a human being who does not actually have them. How could an intelligent man, competent enough to possess such exalted qualities, allow his followers to praise him if he did not actually have them?
praising a man by saying that if he were educated, he might have become a great scholar or great personality, is nothing but a process of cheating. A foolish person who agrees to accept such praise does not know that such words simply insult him. As a person with a sense of honor and magnanimity does not like to hear about his abominable actions, a person who is very famous and powerful does not like to hear himself praised. My dear devotees, headed by the Sutta, just now I am not very famous for my personal activities because I have not done anything praiseworthy you could glorify. Therefore, how could I engage you in praising my activities exactly like children? Thus ends the 15th chapter of the 4th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled King Prithu's Appearance and Coronation.